Thanks again, Colin, for your welcome. And it's lovely to be back to share with you God's precious word. Let's continue our studies in the book of Daniel, and let's turn to Daniel chapter 10. Again, we're not going to do this in a week, the same as we didn't do chapter 9 in a week. Chapter 10 is going to take us a few weeks. We'll read the first 14 verses. Daniel 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with the fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in colour to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, or my vigour was turned into frailty. He just lost all strength, and yet I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep, on my face and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. Here we have one of the most intriguing chapters in the Bible. And my sermon title simply for this chapter is Ephesians chapter 6 in Daniel chapter 10. And I'm sure you're well aware of what Ephesians chapter 6 says. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Here we have side by side the seen and the unseen, the visible and the visible, flesh and blood. We can see that. But behind flesh and blood, behind the actions of flesh and blood, behind the attitudes of flesh and blood, we have principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Here we are introduced in this chapter, not introduced as such as it's mentioned for the first time, but here we have in the book of Daniel angels and demons, angels and evil spirits. As verse 12 says, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. This prince of the kingdom of Persia was an evil spirit. Here is Daniel, who prayed, but it took over 3 weeks for the answer to his prayer to come to him. And yet the moment he prayed, the answer was dispatched from heaven. But it took over 3 weeks to get to Daniel, because of the spiritual battle in the heavens. Things were going on there that maybe we don't give the attention to that we should. The answer was dispatched, but it took over 3 weeks to come because the demons of hell were seeking to prevent the answer from getting through. Is that what happens when we pray? Prayer is a spiritual battle. You might pray earnestly for something today. It mightn't be answered until months' time, even years' time. Is it because the answer is dispatched immediately, you know, but because of the spiritual warfare in the heavens? Somebody said that verse 13 is certainly one of the most mysterious verses in the Old Testament. Verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, he's one of God's angels. He's one of the good angels. One of the chief princes came to help me. And there I remain with the kings of Persia. We stop reading at verse 14, but verse 20 says, then he said, do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. So these evil spirits were, you know, in the prince of Persia and the kings of Persia and the prince of Persia and the prince of Greece, there must be a hierarchy in the angelic world. As Ephesians 6 and 12 says, principalities, powers, rulers, spiritual hosts. Michael is called one of the chief princes. Isn't that interesting? He's the sole archangel that's mentioned in the Bible. In the book of Jude, he's called Michael the archangel, but here he's called Michael one of the chief princes. I wonder how many chief princes there are. And none of them's mentioned by name, only Michael. And he's mentioned again in Daniel chapter 12. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. Again, a very interesting chapter is Daniel chapter 12. But we have to give time to study this here, because God alone is eternal. He is from everlasting to everlasting. God created the heavens and the earth, but he also created angels, an innumerable company of angels. Where did demons come from? They're called demons, they're called devils, they're called evil spirits. And it's just all the same thing. And just to say that chapter 10 to 12 forms one vision that Daniel is receiving here. So we must consider this morning Satan's origin, and then spiritual warfare. And that's all we're going to get time to look at this morning. And we'll come back to this chapter, Davy, in 3 weeks' time. But Satan's origin. In verses 13 to 20, it mentions the prince of the kingdom of Persia, the kings of Persia, the prince of Persia, the prince of Greece in verse 20. But who's the GOC? Who's the general officer in command? But him who is known as Satan, as the devil. Satan means accuser, slanderer. Devil means destroyer, deceiver. The first time that we meet him is in Genesis chapter 3 in the guise as a serpent. How he deceives Eve, how he plants a seed in Eve's mind. How he's the first to ask a question in the Bible. Has God said, you shall not eat of every tree? So in the first book of the Bible, he's called a serpent. In the last book of the Bible, he's called a serpent. And I think one of the most interesting chapters in the Bible as well, and what is going on behind the scenes, is Revelation chapter 12. And verse 9 says, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the ground, and his angels were cast out with him. Verse 7 says, and war broke out in heaven, Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels. So you have two groups of angels here. Satan was a created being himself. And there are two Old Testament scriptures that we're given insight into his origins, and that is in Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28. But it's good to read Ezekiel chapter 28 first. This is a message, a proclamation to the prince of Tyre. But here's what it says in verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre. I said prince of Tyre because that's in verse 2. The king of Tyre, and say unto him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection. full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Now, there was no man in Eden. The only ones in Eden in Genesis chapter 3 was God himself, was Adam, was Eve, and the serpent, the devil, Satan, in the form of a servant or a serpent. But here it says about the king of Tyre, you were in Eden. So it's not the king of Tyre as such, that man of flesh and blood. It was the spirit that motivated the king of Tyre. It was the evil powers that manipulated the government of Tyre and the actions of Tyre. You were in Eden, so it's talking about the devil. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz and diamond, beryl, onyx and jasper, sapphire, turquoise and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. That's pride. That's the very first sin that has ever existed. Pride. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I led you before kings that they might gaze at you. So you can see that when this angel was created, a very special angel. And then when you turn to Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. This is a lament to the king of Babylon. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Now, this is the only time that this name appears in the Bible. And if we're going to include him, there are only three angels mentioned in the Bible by name. And that's Michael and Gabriel. And we see the two of them in the book of Daniel. And Lucifer. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Now you'll not meet any wee fella running about called Lucifer. You'll not meet any wee fella running about called Judas. They seem to be two names that people avoid naming their little baby boys because of the connotations of those names. You'll meet plenty of Michaels. You'll meet plenty of Gabriels. You'll not meet any Lucifers. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? That's what Lucifer means. It means day, star, or light bearer. And we're talking here about something that's brilliant, magnificent, or splendid. And as one has said, perhaps the first creature called into existence was, as his name suggests, a magnificent, brilliant angel. How you are cut down to the ground. You've weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, and here we have the five I wills of Satan. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. So are we talking about the origins of Satan here in these two sets of scripture? And let's not be ignorant of our enemy. Whenever there's war, each side, they want to get to know each other and how they operate. They want to know each other's weaponry, what they have, and so on. And so, as Christians, we need to know our enemy. Paul says we are not to be ignorant of his devices. It talks about the wiles of the devil. We have to be knowledgeable about these things. And how the devil is very subtle. How 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 14 says that Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light, even though he's the prince of darkness. He's able to transform himself into an angel of light. And it says also that false apostles and false teachers are also angels of light, bearing a false message, but yet making it very attractive and alluring, and oh, this must be the truth. And then we have not just Satan's origin, but spiritual warfare. And let's not forget that it is only God who is omnipotent. It is only God who is omniscient, who knows all things. It is only God who is omnipresent. The devil can only be in one place at the one time. Any of his evil spirits can only be in one place at the one time. Satan is not alone. Revelation 12 verse 4 says that the tail of the dragon drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the ground. A third of the stars of heaven, which is a symbolism of the angels. And as we have noticed, verse 7 says the dragon and his angels. And verse 9 says he was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. These are the angels who sinned, as 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4 says, the angels who sinned. So of all God's created angels, and we don't know how many were created, we're talking about millions. We don't really know. We're given a figure in Daniel 7 and verse 10. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000. You're into the millions. But whenever this casting out took place, a third of the created angelic host sided with Lucifer and were cast out with him. 2/3 remained loyal to God. And these are the elect angels that 1 Timothy 5 and verse 21 mentions, the elect angels. So we ought to be encouraged that yes, there are demons in the world today influencing governments and everything, and that's something that we'll look into. But there's more with us than with them. There's 2/3 of God's angels to 1/3 of Satan's angels, called evil spirits, called demons. Hebrews 12 and 22 says, an innumerable company of angels. That possess people. We, as Christians, cannot be possessed by an evil spirit. We can be oppressed. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit, not a hellish spirit, but the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit and a hellish spirit cannot reside in the same person's life, in their heart. We can be oppressed from the outside, but not possessed. So that's a whole subject in itself. Possession. How do you know a person's possessed? Have you ever met a person who's demon possessed? How would you know? How would you know? They don't have to look wild or run wild or be anything like that. A demon possessed person could be one of the nicest people you could meet. There's Judas Iscariot. Didn't Jesus say about Judas Iscariot in John chapter 6, have I not chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? And then in the upper room we read in John where Satan entered him. We have in the Bible and even throughout history of the angels of God able to manifest themselves in human form. But we don't have any indication of an evil spirit, of an angel of hell able to manifest himself in human form. But maybe the nearest thing to that was Judas Iscariot. One of you is a devil. Jesus didn't say that one of you will become a devil. One of you is a devil. And then Satan entered him. It's as if maybe Satan said to the evil spirit, you know, while you leave now, I'll take over from here. And that was to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter 16. The slave girl who was possessed with a single evil spirit, a spirit of divination, followed Paul about. And all she said was, these men are servants of the Most High God, here to show us the way of salvation. Absolutely nothing wrong with what she said. Nothing wrong with what she said. And she did that for days, until Paul turned and rebuked the evil spirit, took him out of the girl. Now, why did he do that? Well, this girl would have had a reputation. She would have been well known as a fortune teller. People would have known her. People would have thought that, you know, this girl's joining in here with, and she's going along with Paul. But Paul wanted the people to know that this girl is speaking out of sarcasm. A single evil spirit. She was a fortune teller. And yet you will read in Mark chapter 5 of the man who is known as the Gadarene demoniac, who was wild. He couldn't live in society. He lived among the tombs. He couldn't be secured in any way. He just broke chains, metal chains like thread, and he cut himself. And when Jesus asked him his name, he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Now, a legion was a unit of the Roman army of 6,000 soldiers. 6,000 soldiers was a legion. Now, we read of various centurions in the New Testament, and they headed up 100 soldiers. But a legion was 6,000, and he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Was this man, this human being, this flesh and blood, was he possessed with 6,000 demons? Mightn't have been 6,000, but certainly he may have been using the figure of legion. He was possessed with many. With many. So listen. Do you see, in the world today, we don't know what's going on out there. We don't know what's behind the scenes. We don't know what's behind people's lives and influence them and so on. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. He kept me back for 21 days. I needed help. And that came from Michael, one of the chief princes. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. There's spiritual warfare going on. Demons will be busy this morning. They'll be busy tonight between the hours of 6:30 and 7:30, or 7:00 to 8:00 when most churches have their services. Because what do? They hinder the gospel. Think of the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8 and verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Can you picture that? Can you picture that in reality? The birds of the air devoured it. But who are these birds? In the interpretation of the parable of the sower, verses 11 and 12. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes. He's the birds. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Oh, they're busy this morning. They'll be busy tonight. Snatching the seed away the moment it lands. They don't want it to take root. They'll distract people with other things, with today's football and tomorrow's weather and the duties they have to do tomorrow and what needs to be done at work. And this is what they do. They will prevent people from being saved. And once a person does get saved, if that person is going to be earnest, oh, they don't like that. They will target that individual. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 18, therefore we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. Satan hindered us. And that word hindered means that he cuts up the ground. It paints a picture of Satan going ahead, cutting into the pathway of Paul, breaking up the road. The devil is our adversary, seeking to thwart the evangelization of the world. Do you remember I said that Satan can only be in one place at the one time? He's not omnipresent. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Christian, Satan is out to get you. I wonder where he is in the world at the moment. Is he in Britain? Is he in America? Is he in Australia? I wonder where he is. But the help that he has is all over the world. Evil spirits are all over the world. The devil walks about like a roaring lion. So you can see the animal metaphors that can be used. You can see how he changes. A serpent in the Garden of Eden. A serpent is very quiet. A serpent is a very quiet creature. You wouldn't know it's there. You'll know a roaring lion is there. You'll know a roaring lion is about. A serpent could be crawling at my feet and I wouldn't know. But certainly you'd hear a roaring lion if it was outside. And these are the changes that Satan can make. A roaring lion is a hungry lion. A roaring lion is a fighting lion. He doesn't like Christians. He doesn't like followers of Christ. He seeks whom he may devour. Where do we find these well-known words of the New Testament? But in the book of Peter. What did Jesus say to Peter? At one time, in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. I have another sermon on this. Here on these two verses, we have Satan's intention. Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. The first you is singular, so I read. It's for Simon. And the second you is plural. It means the rest of the disciples. Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you personally that he may sift you as wheat. In Satan's sieve is what I call it. We have Satan's intention, but we have Simon's ignorance. He wouldn't have known anything about this, that Satan had his eye on him, unless the Lord had have told him. So Satan's intention and Simon's ignorance. And maybe we can be ignorant. Maybe there are times in our Christian life when the devil isn't too far away from us, or an evil spirit. And don't be thinking, oh no, no, this is church. Somebody once said, if Satan can't destroy your church, he'll join it. If Satan can't destroy your church from the outside, he'll join it to destroy it from the inside. And I know what I'm talking about. But as well as Satan's intention and Simon's ignorance, we have the Saviour's intercession. But I have prayed for you. Isn't that a lovely thing? That the Saviour does make intercession for us in heaven, we're told in Romans chapter 8. But he targets individuals. He targeted Peter. He targeted Job. Job was one of the most godly men of the Old Testament. Have you not considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth. One who fears God and eschews or shuns evil. And God, in his sovereignty, gave the devil permission to have a go at Job. And we all know all that Job lost in the first couple of chapters of Job. Joshua the high priest. In Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1, and then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. The angel of the Lord being Christ. Joshua was doing his high priestly duties, nothing to do with the book of Joshua, who was Moses' successor. This is a different Joshua altogether. Standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. That's what Satan seeks to do in your Christian life. Oppose him. He'll oppose you. And one has said, when we stand before God to minister to him or stand up for God, we must expect to meet all the resistance Satan's subtlety and malice can give. But let us resist him that resists us, and he will flee. And this is what we're told. James 4 and verse 7. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He will flee from you. But in order to resist the devil, we must first of all submit to God. So he targets individuals. He targeted Peter and Job and Joshua. And what about Paul? Again, a well-known scripture. And again, I'm just using these scriptures like pieces of a jigsaw, putting them together, trying to get a picture made here. Paul's thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. He prayed 3 times that the Lord would take it away from him, and the Lord didn't. The Lord let this messenger of Satan continue to buffet Paul till the day he died. And the Lord's answer to Paul was simply, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in your weakness, Paul. The thorn in the flesh is unknown. We don't know what it was. But Paul described it as a messenger of Satan. I'm going to close off now, because these are mysterious verses, intriguing verses, but we have to look at these things the same way as we had to take time and sort out Daniel 9, 24 to 27, about the weeks and so on. I was bringing the answer, Daniel, but a chief demon, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, withstood me. And as well as the prince of the kingdom of Persia, there are the kings of Persia. One prince, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, but there's a plurality of kings with the kings of Persia. Then in verse 20, the prince of Persia, and when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece will come. When I'm finished with one, I have to then start fighting the other. So there are things going on in the heavens that we know nothing about. But we have insights here that will help us, that will strengthen us. We have found out where Satan has come from. He wasn't always Satan. He wasn't always the devil. He wasn't always nasty. He was a perfect, created, angelic being and a powerful angel at that. But how he fell. And the darkness and the subtlety, we're all aware of that. He's a powerful being. It would be so easy to be defeated. He targets the mind, as we'll find out in our next study at this, whose minds the god of this age has blinded. That's why we have to wear the helmet of salvation, to protect our minds. That's why we have to read the word and pray and good Christian literature and so on. He targets the mind of man. But you know something, it's worthy to take note of the last mention of him in the Bible. And somebody once said that if the devil comes to you and troubles you about your future, just remind him of his. Because his is Revelation 20 verse 10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And the devil is not mentioned in the Bible again. So whenever he troubles you about your future, just you remind him of his. Be encouraged. But he made this prince of Persia. He made these kings of Persia. He made this prince of Greece. And this is just an introduction into this chapter of what this is all about. And we'll eventually commentate on the whole of the chapter. But be encouraged. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. We're going to sing Psalm 94, 16 to 23 to the tune Torwood. Psalm 94 and 16 talks about iniquity and wickedness and so on, and we know all who's behind that, but we have the Lord who's on our side. Psalm 94, verse 16.